Well, I want to thank God that I live in America. This is the time when all this is going on that we can say, praise God, we live in America. And not only that, with the tragedy that are going on, I think of all the times that I put the news on and people say, our prayers are with them. Yes. And I think, wow, we are a country that the Christians know our prayers are with them. And I think it's, how more blessed can you be? Not only that, I thought, I reflected in the home I grew up in. No home's perfect. My home's not perfect. My siblings or growing up wasn't perfect. But we knew to seek God. I grew up in a godly home that knew God. Knew God. And I think these kids didn't know the true God. They were deceived by prophets, false prophets. And I thought, you know what? They got to wake up in the new life. And it's not going to be pretty. And they're going to say, whoa, I believe the greatest liar on this earth. He sent me a false prophet. Mm-hmm. We should be moved with compassion for these people that don't know the truth. Yes. We have the truth. We need to be grateful. And I just was praising God. The more I see how things unfolded in Americans want to be there. They will know where to turn. That in God we trust. As much as I was thinking for a long time and watching things in the government, I'm thinking, oh man, our country is just down the tubes. We're going nowhere. And then I see when tragedy hits, we're in a country that knows how to cry out. We got to be thankful. Yes. We got to be thankful. Thankful for the homes, thankful for God. Anyway, I want to just ask God to be with us today in the message. So, dear Heavenly Father, just thank you. Thank you so much for caring about each one of us and each person out there. And Lord, for your words that it'll sink deep in our hearts. And just praise you, Lord, for your goodness through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I also was thinking, we each one of us have experienced probably some kind of tragedy in our lives, or knew other people that have losses or some kind of tragedy in our lives. And how do you do it if you don't have the Lord? Do you ever think, how do I do it? How do I do it? I mean, even in a good marriage, I say, how would I do this without the Lord? Wouldn't. I love my husband to death, but there are times I know without the Lord being the center of our home, we wouldn't make it. I would have killed him, he would have killed me, something like that. I mean, you know, many times I think my kids feel the same way about Mom, but, you know, we wouldn't make it without the Lord. And the only way that our kids know we love them is because we love the Lord. We love the Lord. So I wanted to go to Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. Does everyone know Matthew 5, 6, 7 is the Sermon on the Mount? But I want to talk a little before that when Jesus finally realized he was going into his ministry, he took time to fast. And then what happens when he started fasting is Satan comes in. Ah, I'm going to tempt him. What Satan doesn't realize, as we fast and draw close to the Lord, we gain what? Strength. Strength. And that's what happened. And so Satan starts tempting Jesus and starts tempting him on the bread. And he said, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's what I want to talk about. After that temptation, Jesus then went to the mountain. He went to the mountain and he spoke some powerful words. The first words that are spoken in Matthew 5 are, and seeing the multitude, And seeing the multitude, he opened his mouth and he spoke. But in seeing the multitude, there's the difference. We need to be praying, God, help me to see the multitude. When you saw those videos, or it, I don't know if everyone has TV, better off without. But when you see it and you see the multitude of people there and during the trauma, what are you looking at? What are we looking at? Are we looking at the people? And what are their needs? And seeing the multitude. It's like God had an ability to look out over the whole multitude and know what he needed to speak. And what he spoke. Every word God spoke is so right on for us today and for eternity. We need to really look at Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We really, you know, I could never preach one sermon on the Sermon on the Mount and make it through it. But look at first thing he said, started saying, what was the first word he said? Does anybody know? Blessed. Absolutely. He started blessing. He started looking at those. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He had compassion. His first words were so compassionate with the Beatitudes, letting us know who's going to get blessed here, what direction to go. So let's look at those for a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm using my iPad because it's bright light and I'm old. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. There's been a lot of mourning going on. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Even though we can't be there, we are the extended prayer to those people. We can reach out in prayer, and in any way, they will be comforted. You can trust God to comfort us. How do you mourn and lose things without God? I don't know. I need that comfort. I need it. Every day I need it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not those that are going around, you know, but, you know, the pride and the, but the meek. Christ was known as meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God saw that. You know, Jesus was out there. He saw the hungry, and he told them, you're going to be filled. You're going to be filled. And you know, that goes beyond the hunger of food. How many of us have ever gotten hungry for the word or for more of God? You know? I get hungry. I just cry out to the Lord, Lord, I need more of you. I need more of you. I'm hungry for you. Let's see. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I think we live in a merciful country. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We all should be striving to be more pure in heart. I fail in that daily, but my heart seeks to know God. My heart seeks to be more of Christ that's in me, not me. Mary Damon is not a pretty person, but Christ in me can be helpful to other people. Christ in me can touch lives. Mary Damon in and of herself would destroy lives, but Christ. And that's got to be our cry. Christ, may it be you. You promised you lived in me. I accept you. You live in me. Let them see you. Please don't let them see Mary. So, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, we got lots to rejoice about. We have so much to rejoice about. We have the promise of the promised land. We have that. It's coming. And that keeps us going. It keeps us going. When I think of how we have to live with the Word of God, I know that some of you are following the book read, the Bible reading that Pastor gave us, and so you've read this. But to really ponder on these things, and to really, the more we read God's Word, the more it's spoken. And we have phenomenal things. I know if any of you are hooked to my Facebook and you say, really, does all she does? She never says anything. She just keeps posting a scripture here, a scripture there, and sometimes many. And, you know, but, you know, I have people that read that that never go to church. And they like it. So God's word is not to be unliked. So don't be afraid. This is the time they need it. They need to see it. They need to read it. They need to hear it. It needs to sink in. And if one person reads that and comes to the Lord, God is faithful. What can I say? God is faithful. I'm not a woman of many words. No. And everybody will laugh. But God's word is very dear to me. Okay, then he gets into talking to us believers who should know the right way of living. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its savor, what happens to the people here? You are the salt of the earth. You need to read the section about you are the salt of the earth. That's a whole sermon in and of itself. We need to be salt of the earth. Amen. We need to be salt. Everybody needs it, especially now. Now is the time. Whenever tragedy hits, it's a great time to get in there and shine that light. We are the salt of the earth. Let's not lose it. You are the light. But are we really the light, or is Christ in us the light? His word, as we read it, becomes that salt that gets out there and flavors the world. The light is Christ in us. So our daily prayer, I know I've said this before, should be every morning, Lord, don't let them see Mary. Let them see Christ. When you get out there in the world, you know, sometimes I'm Mary in my home. It's a lot of times. And, you know, it brings a lot of humor, but we are the light when we get out there. We are the light, the salt and the light. They need us. Then Christ goes into talking about how he fulfilled the law. That's why we need him. He fulfilled it. When he died on the cross, he fulfilled it. For each and every one of them, he fulfilled the law. And it goes into something interesting. Murder begins in the heart. It begins in the heart. Do we allow hatred to happen in our lives? Do we? I recently was talking to someone who had talked to me about, I love my mate unconditionally. And I said, no, you don't. But I've had it. I've had it. I love my mate unconditionally, but I've had it. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I said, no, you don't have unconditional love. Christ has unconditional love. You don't. We all have conditions, but we have to understand that Christ has us make a commitment to him. How do we deal? How do we deal with that? Hatred will only create murder in our hearts. It begins in our heart, the hatred. You can't say that's love. It says adultery begins in the heart. And there's words in there on adultery. And then he talks about marriage being sacred and binding. It's only through the grace of God only through. And I know it's hard. Abuse should never happen. There's a lot of things that shouldn't happen, and they do happen. But it's God's grace that will pull us through these things and help us through it. And so if people shouldn't deal with abuse, you got to get out of abuse. But if it's not, if it's just an issue of forgiveness, then we need to forgive. If it's just an issue of crying out to God daily for whatever relationship, I'm not just talking marriage, every relationship, then we need to cry out to God for that. God wants us to forgive. God talked to us in the Sermon on the Mount about going the second mile. Christians ought to be going that second mile. How many of us are truly going the second mile? You know, don't give up one thing, but give it all up, you know, not just your cloak, you know, give it all up. So then I wanted to talk about, which Christ talked about, love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So you got to go beyond. You got to know how to turn the cheek. You got, your love has to go beyond. You know, you have to look at those who are doing criminal acts. Yes, justice will be done. I heard one newscaster who talks all the time about being Catholic, and my husband and my mother were Catholics, or are, or I guess once, always, but he said, those guys are going to go to hell. They'll see hell, you know, and I'm thinking, what? I thought they didn't, you know, I talked to a priest once. You don't believe in hell, so I'm a little confused by that. But it's that anger and hatred and that tends to build up on us when we see people like that. But we have to see them as Christ did. They were deceived. They were deceived. They don't have the truth. We have it. And it's important that we learn to love our enemies. Pray for them. Pray for their family or families, their extended families. Pray that they see the light. There's so many out here that have that belief in our country. This isn't going to be the end of it if we aren't praying for them and reaching these lives. We got to pray for our enemies. Matthew 6, it says to do these good deeds. And that's what I feel like we in America are doing. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, that they may be seen of men. But there are so many ways that we can reach out to people without it being a boastful thing that we get the praise. Christ felt it, or God feels it, it's very important that God get the praise for what is done. Then he talks about how to pray. And I love the prayer. And it's good for us to say it. So I'm going to, those who know it or have it on there. Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's what I feel that so many Americans look at. We may not be posting it in the schools, but we have it. We have it. We know that. We know how to forgive. We know how to move on. Other countries are completely lost. Again, how do they do it without Christ? I don't know. I don't know. I am so grateful for where I've grown up. So grateful. He talks about laying up our treasures in heaven and about our bodies being a temple. You cannot serve God and riches. All of those are great things. And I'm giving you the highlights because I think it's important for people to be inspired to go and read it. Because if you ponder on the whole three chapters and ponder on verse by verse, what God speaks to me will be different than what God speaks to your heart, because God knows what you need. God knows what I need. So many things that are going to minister to me or may minister to you differently. But His Word promises to bring us comfort and to bring us light and to bring us life, because Jesus was that life. So these are His words. The lamp as our body is lamp. I just one thing I heard on the news, it was kind of crazy. It says this kid was a normal teenager. This 19-year-old was a normal teenager. He would smoke pot, sit around, smoke pot with the rest of the kids. And I grabbed that and I said, what? So I guess what people say normal, I didn't know. And then I realized, I started thinking, what's normal? We got to make sure that this word is normal for us. Make sure this word is normal. Some of the things in the world may be fun, the kids may try them, but it takes us out from this. It doesn't help us to focus on this. So that's why God says that our bodies are that temple. Don't try to escape. Let me minister to that. Let soak up what I had to say. You will grow stronger. And all of us sometimes wish we had ways of escaping, but this is the best place to escape. This is where you're going to find true comfort. This is it. Therefore, I say to you, this is on the worrying. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Obviously, I can't. So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And now God so clothed the grass of the field today and tomorrow, it's gone. Will he not more clothe those who are faithful to him? He cares. He cares. And this clothing and this saying, therefore, not to worry. Worry about what you're eating, what you're to drink, what you're to wear. These are things the people of the world worry about. These are things the people of the world seek. I had an aunt and uncle come to my house last Sunday. They live in Malibu, out by some of the people who are actually in movie stars. And, you know, they were like so concerned that you get these worldly treasures, you know, You know, you're not going to have happiness. You're not going to have security. You're not going to have any of these things unless you go to college and all your kids go to college. And you're not going to have. And I thought, yeah, well, my one caught kid that was in college didn't make it. So I'm sorry. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. College is good, but that's not the answer. That's not the answer. We have to find peace and contentment in things that God provides for us. You know, one of the disturbing things that I find about the government wanting to provide everything, where's God in that? God wants to be our provider. That's what God says. He wants to be one providing your clothing, your food, and everything. We have just got to be content and love the Lord. He'll take care of us. He'll help you find a job when you're out of a job. I know. I've been there. I've been there. You know, the world, the government would say, we're really poor. We're really poor. And I'm going, I look at what I have. I'm not poor. I don't care what the government says. I don't need them to take care of me. I don't need them to feed me. We're not poor. We have Christ. If you have Christ, you will be provided for. That's God's promise, not mine, not mine. I can't stand up here and provide for any of you, but God will. Not only does it, well, he may provide for me, you know. No, he will. He will. He won't let you go hungry. I lived with a mother. My dad was off in prison for a time, and we really had nothing. But I can honestly say, somebody brought a cow, we had fresh milk, and, you know, neighbors brought things. We were provided for. We saw times that mom would just have us all pray, and then there it would be. We were provided for. Why? It's not because my mother was this great person. She was a real quiet person, not like me. But God saw the need, and we had asked God. He showed himself to each and every one of us kids. We knew. That didn't come from mom. That came from God. So whom I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. When you get hungry, when you feel that you just haven't got another stitch of clothing, God will provide. Be content, though. Be content. You don't have to live in a mansion like we don't have any Joneses, right? Joneses or something. You don't have to live in a mansion. You just need to be content with the Lord. And I pretty much live out, I forget what Barb called it one time, no man's land, but I do. I live out there. I love it. It's peaceful. Barb lives out. We love it. It's peaceful. We may not be wealthy out there, but we love it. It's God's country, I call it. But be content. Be content. And know that God is there to take care of you. So then I wanted to, Matthew 7 talks about judging. That's a sharp one. I actually think I talked about judging before, but I'm going to read this. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. We can't afford to judge. Do you know that judgment will keep people from coming in our doors? Judgment. You know, when Christ looked at people, you know, somebody once said, you got to try and look at people the way Christ looked at people. Think of the woman who had all those husbands. Did God say, oh, you know what, I'm sorry, ma'am, you need to go away. You really aren't worthy. You have so many husbands, and then now the one that you're with isn't even your husband, and I just really can't minister to you. God reached out. God didn't. He didn't place judgment. He was dying for those sins. That's what he came there for. And we can do it no different. All these people just need Christ's love. Not Mary's love, Christ's love. Let's not keep them out the doors. And I know that I find it, people often, as they slip away or start doing something wrong, the first thing is like they feel guilty. We've all been there. So, oh man, I can't show my face at church. I'm just a mess. And we feel guilty, so we kind of hide out. If you don't see people here, pray for them. You don't know what they're going through. You don't. And I was mentioning that somebody said, you got to start seeing things as Christ sees them. I took my kids when they were young, my older kids, to Fred Meyer was the big store then, Fred Meyer parking lot. And one of our assignments was, because it says, and seeing the multitudes, we went there to the parking lot, and I says, we're just to sit here and try to see each person as Christ would see them. There's something beyond what you see in the external on everybody. There's going to be something going on in that person's life, in Barb's life, that you may not know. We need to pray for one another. But if she's missing, we really need to pray for. Have compassion. People who are mean usually have gone through something. We need to pray for them. We are not in their shoes. People who are getting a divorce, you know what I've told so many women who have called me and said, I say, I'm not in your situation. I'm not in your situation. All I can do is pray. I can pray. But I can't say that I would live in any situation somebody else isn't able to live in. I can't, because I'm not in it. God graciously gave me somebody who could put up with me, and I'm not easy to live with. So, you know, God is glorified. God is glorified. We have got to be compassionate, be there for people, be that listening ear, never judging people. Relationships are hard. They're very hard. So be praying for one another. It can look perfect, and there can be struggles. That's what one thing that I was kind of blown away. Kent Shinaki got up and shared a few weeks back. I had no idea. And what he had gone through. And I had had people tell me, you know, Kent and Barb, they can't really understand. They've never gone through any trials. Their life is perfect. Their family is perfect. And then Kent gets up and he shares his life. And I'm going, oh, he could really understand a lot of things. He has gone through struggles. I have gone through struggles. You know, we all go through struggles. We got to be in prayer for one another, but we cannot be judging one another. It's important we not judge other people for anything, anything. So, and then God talks about the road being narrow. I like that. Because sometimes, let's just take, if you get a little too much to drink, what are you? All over the place. You may end up on the wrong road, right? I'm not that, but, you know, some people, you know, they're just like, oh, well, that's the way life is if we are not reading that word daily. There's a chance we could sway. There's a chance we could get in the wrong road or the wrong lane or the wrong. We have got to have the Word of God. We have got to ponder on it. We have got to let it be a source of life for us. I can't say that enough. It seems like every time I get up here, I'm saying, it's the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Because the minute I stop reading the Word of God is the times that I start like seeing things happening that shouldn't, in my attitude, not in life situations, not like Christ is waiting there to say, okay, if you stop reading my word, zap, I'm going to zap. No, but life situations, sin in this world, all these things bring about things that happen in our lives. But it's the Word of God that helps us to stay focused, that helps us through the trials and tribulations. You got to keep on that narrow road, and the only way to do it is to keep in the Word of God. You know, even if it's just the Sermon on the Mount you read every day. Or I used to tell people, if you're not going to read anything else, read Psalms, read Proverbs, Sermon on the Mount for the New Testament. But, you know, Psalms to lighten your heart when you feel depressed, and Proverbs, because it's like really crack the whip on you. The Word of God. If you feel you are struggling in your attitude, or struggling with hatred, or struggling in your marriage, or struggling in with losses. I've struggled with losses. If it wasn't for the Word of God, oh my goodness, I cry most every day. That's the honesty. But I know, and I'm grateful, most of that crying is, I'm just, thank you, God, for being here for me. Thank you, God, for walking this with me. And that's what this country is doing, saying, thank you, God, we have you. And we can say, let's pray. That we can help one another, that we know in God we trust. Thank you, God, we have you. And feel more compassionate for those missionaries that are out there in other countries where it is turmoil. And they are out there, and there is a lot more turmoil than what's here. You know, I have a grandson that gets into politics, and oh my goodness, he can go off in the politics. And he's like, oh, you know, this government, this country is falling. And oh, you know, maybe we should go to another country. And I'm going, are you kidding? You really don't know yet. Young kids. It's true. We are blessed. We are still blessed. Even when it looks like we're not, we are still blessed. And if you don't believe it, watch it whenever we hit a tragedy like this. Watch it. Or you hit a tragedy in your home. They come when you least expect it. You know, I was the one that said, oh God, my life is perfect. I remember just a young girl. I had 3 kids, and I thought, oh God, my life is perfect. Nothing could go wrong. You would just so blessed me. And oh, and I just was going on and on to God, thanking God. And then all of a sudden, bam, trials started hitting. You know, my husband lost his job. Later, we lost a child. Then we lost him. And I was just like, what is happening? But you know what? God walked through every minute with us. And I say with us. I mean, the story is amazing. The story is amazing how little by little, when I had no strength and I would lay in bed and say, God, I cannot go any further, God would just pour a blessing down and he'd minister. I mean, he gives words and he gives songs and he just gives. When we need it, he gives. He is there. He is there. So let's thank God for his goodness. And I really, really, really want to encourage us to read. I hope I gave you a little bit of a hunger to say, you know, I really should read what she talked about. What does God have for me in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount? What does God have for me? You know, take some time this week. Read it. Learn. What is God speaking? What did he really see? What does he see in my life? Where can I change my attitude? Where can I help others? How can I be more like Christ? Speaking more of his words. So, Pastor, you want to pray?
I do. I don't think I've ever heard a message on the entire Sermon on the Mount. And it shouldn't be a strange thing, because, after all, it was a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preached it in one setting. And that was just, I